Did you overlap with John Crisp at all when you were here?
Yeah, John Crisp. I think it was last year, 2020, so I played at least 2 or 3 years with him.
What's the chances of getting the Eggbo sandwich back at Front Porch Coffee now?
He's not really into washed athletes anymore. he wants the new shiny thing on campus. But no, I think it is cool that he owns the Front Porch now.
We're talking with Anthony Eggbo, the director of the Wildcat Annual Fund, former ACU football student athlete, who did a lot of stuff off the field too. Leadership roles with ACU, the WAC, the NCAA. What's your day-to-day look like now?
The day-to-day looks a lot different depending on what season we're in. So obviously football season is going to be football-centric. A lot of that looks like continuing to cultivate relationships with our football donors, having a portfolio of people to kind of make sure that they feel engaged and a part of the program and what we're doing. A lot of those people support the program and are pretty much foundational to moving the program forward. So making sure that they feel a part and engaged and know what's going on, knowing how their generosity is spurring the program forward. Events, that looks like a lot of events, traveling to some of the games, trying to hit the different markets and where we're going. So if it's DFW, when we play TCU, or San Antonio, when we're UAW, trying to make sure that we're also bridging gaps with people that are outside of our immediate community. Then it's also the Football Letterman's Association, getting former players back involved. Recognitions. We had the 2010 team back this year. We had the 80s class come back for reunion this year with John Bradshaw, Layfield. And then the first game of the year is always a Letterman reunion for all of our guys. So a lot of it is just based around football engagement, football support, football donors. And then in the spring, you transition more into basketball season. So pretty much the same kind of setup, but centered around basketball. Men's and women, and then you also, more now. So we are starting to plan a lot earlier for ACU Gives, which as college athletics continues to like make this trajectory forward, investment has to follow that trajectory upward. So it's becoming more important. ACU Gives is becoming a lot more important for just the operation of our department. So we're starting to plan a lot earlier for that, too.
It's in late April, but I think an important thing, like you can give the whole month. Don't wait to the last to the last day, right?
100%.
Everything in April goes towards ACU Gives.
100%. So I would even say it starts April. It's April 28th and through the 29th. But like you said, everything April 1 counts towards ACU Gives. And even before that, you can set up a matching gift for ACU Gives at any point from now until April 28th. And we will keep that gift in an undesignated fund until ACU Gives, so that people can pretty much see your generosity and hopefully that unlocks generosity in them to say, you know what, if 10 people give $100, then this donor is pledging to give $10,000. So let me be a part of the 10, and my $100 can go actually become $10,000. So that can happen up from now until April. So we also encourage that as well.
All right. So we made this transition last summer from the Wildcat Club to the Wildcat Annual Fund. I'm sure you have answered loads and loads of questions about what does that actually mean. I guess the biggest thing is two main parts, right? Mm-hmm. Two different places where you can give. Mm-hmm. The scholarship enhancement, mm-hmm, silo, and then spiritual development, which of course is, you know, hopefully the part that separates ACU from every other university.
100%.
Tell me about the two separate parts that you can send your donations to and know where it's going to go.
For sure. So yeah, the main concept behind us moving from the Wildcat Club to the Wildcat Annual Fund was to, number one, get away from benefit tied giving, right? So you don't necessarily get points or get gifts or whatever perks for donating. We wanted to get away from that. We wanted to move to a more philanthropic approach because we feel like that's more aligned with the mission of the university and the athletic department. And the second thing is we want to really narrow down what the support is going to advance. Like, we want our donors, our supporters, to actually see very clearly, this is where my support is going to. So we made it very clear that it's going to two areas. It's going to enhance scholarship dollars and spiritual formation. So enhanced scholarship dollars just means the dollars that head coaches can use to recruit and retain student athletes, whether that's helping them with cost of attendance because they need COA for things that are above their books and tuition and room and board, or whether that's Austin, or whether that's allowing a player to walk onto the team and helping them financially so that they can be able to stay on the team after, you know, they walk on. It's just giving the coaches the flexibility to use scholarship dollars that are above just the normal cap of tuition, essentially. And so that's very important to be able to keep student athletes here that we initially recruit, and we're trying to make sure that they have a financially stress-free experience so that they can focus on their school and their physical and spiritual development. But it's also important to be able to get kids here to say, hey, like, we have the flexibility to be able to make sure that you're not financially stressed. We can offer you a scholarship, and that's going to take care of tuition, but we can also create some more flexibility in other ways so that you can focus on what we want you to focus on. So that's the first silo. The second silo is spiritual development, and we also wanted to be very specific about how we did this because we wanted to make sure that it's tangible, right? So we're partnering with FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, to use a lot of their programming and use a lot of their resources that they already have set in place. Like FCA College Weekend is one event that happens every February, and there's literally hundreds of college student athletes from the entire state of Texas, from UT to Southwestern University and to everyone in between, and it is a life-changing experience. So we want to be able to pay for our athletes to be able to go to that weekend and have that type of experience, right? Getting them biblical resources, right, to put in their hands, actually. We assume it's a Christian university that most of these kids are coming from Christian backgrounds. That's just not the case for athletics, right? We recruit kids from all types of different backgrounds and different walks of life. So what we want is we want them to have biblical resources when they're here that are tangible, right? So I can keep going down the list, but the point is that you can see exactly where your dollars are going, and they're going to two things that are integral for the athletic department to move forward. I mean, you got to keep student athletes here that we want to be here. We have to get student athletes that we want to be here. Then we also have to develop them. We're giving the coaches the ability to develop them performance-wise and physically, but we also have an obligation to develop them holistically as a person, and then hopefully as a man and woman of a woman of God. So those are kind of the specifics of it. It's probably a little bit too much detail than you wanted.
Let me ask you some. I'll throw out some hypotheticals. If I wanted to give, say specifically, men's basketball spiritual development, can I do that?
You can.
Yeah.
So any gift that comes through, you can tag it, and we will make sure that it goes to your specific designation and your specific intent. That's something we take very serious, is donor intent of gifts. So you can send a donation and say, hey, this is for this program, and this is for this purpose. And we have a system that we'll be able to see that and make sure that it's designated exactly to what you intend it to be. So it can be as specific as that, and it can be as unspecified as, you know what, I want to give to this overall operation that you guys are doing with the Wildcat Annual Fund.
I think I want to get a definition out there of player compensation, because that's one that our athletic director, Zach Lassiter, he uses to just kind of give, I think, a broad overview of everything that the players, the athletes can receive.
Yeah.
When it comes to player compensation, like, what's the reaction from a lot of the people you talk to on these athletes? Not all of them, yeah. Maybe not even the majority of them, that are getting a little bit of extra money that, you know, a few years ago would have been against the rules, but yeah. Now it's possible through revenue sharing and things like that that ACU can do.
Yeah, I think it's just important to recognize two things, that the industry has changed, and that's not a bad thing. Now, just like everything else that changes in a society or in an industry, there are extremes and there are negatives to those extremes, and there's also benefits to responsible action within that change. And I think that sometimes people they kind of conglomerate what they see going on in the industry as a whole and kind of bring that and say, like, well, and apply it to what we're doing here. Or anytime they hear that word player compensation or revenue sharing or NIL, those are all different things. And not only that, everyone is actually doing it differently. I mean, even the Power Four schools, They a lot of them have different ways that they're doing it. A lot of them are doing different business maneuvers that the other ones are not, and vice versa. So everyone's doing it differently. Everyone's approaching it differently, and it really boils down to what is your philosophy on it. So that's what they're following. They're following their institutional and their athletic department's philosophy, and that pretty much drives how they're doing their player compensation. All that to say, we have our own philosophy, right? As an institution, we want to build student athletes holistically. That is spiritually, that is academically, and that is physically in their sport. So our approach to player compensation is tailored to that. So it's not what you're going to be seeing on you know, the front center news of these players getting, you know, this and that. And I'm not going to go into detail of what other people do, but my point is that we're doing it the ACUA, which involves us taking care of our student athletes in every way that they need to be taken care of. And the biggest thing is removing a financial stressor from the athletes so that they can devote themselves more fully to their sport, their academics, and finding out who God has called them to be. And I think we actually have a responsibility as a department to do that, so that they're able to focus on those things that matter.
I remember after the 2024 football season, obviously the best in D1 history at that point, and all this success and excitement. And then after the season was over, you had, I think it was a dozen guys, players enter the transfer portal. Yeah. And it was interesting to hear our athletic director Zach say, you know, this is not an indictment about AC. Like, these are, in most cases, these are guys that are getting bigger opportunities,
for sure,
which we should be happy for them, or they're not happy here because they're not playing enough,
sure,
or it's not what they thought. And we don't want people to have to be stuck at ACU and not,
for sure,
enjoy their experience.
Yeah.
So I understand that that's for supporters and fans of ACU. Like, those are difficult realities of, hey, we had a really good season and now this player wants to move on.
For sure.
But what I hear most of the time is there was nothing wrong with ACU.
For sure.
This is just where the college athletics world is now.
For sure. Well, what people have to realize too is that if we're doing our job as an athletic department and as an institution, then we actually win those guys for life. And that's actually more important than seeing them exhaust their eligibility here, right? So, case in point, I give you an old example, and then I give you a new example. Old example is Jack Gibbons. For those that know, Jack Gibbons came here as a freshman out of high school. He had FBS offers, came here as a freshman out of high school, played and started 4 years here at ACU. Graduated, had a grad year, took it, went to the University of Minnesota, played a season there, one season there, and went undrafted and signed an undrafted free agent deal in the NFL, signed with the Titans practice squad, ended up getting promoted, started the whole year, came back, was as the starter again, broke his leg, got cut, got signed by the Patriots, and he's now the starting linebacker on the Patriots, who are the number two seed in the AFC right now. My point is that Jack Gibbons would say that he's an ACU Wildcat. He doesn't call himself a Minnesota Gopher. He calls himself an ACU Wildcat. This place means a lot to him because of what we were able to cultivate with him while he was here. Did he go to the NFL from ACU? No, he went to Minnesota. But when Jack Gibbons is done, he's going to come back home here. His face is on the side of the stadium now, right? And this is his home. That's an older example. A newer example is David Ogie, right? Defensive tackle, again, recruited out of high school, came here, played 3 years here, right? 22, 23, 24. Had an amazing year. Got an opportunity to go in the SEC. As much as I love ACU, I want to play in the SEC too. I remember my last game when we played at A&M. I remember just thinking, dang, man, these dudes do this every Saturday. Like, I want to do this every Saturday. It's cool. He goes to the SEC. Well, David Ogie is playing at Arkansas, okay? In the bye week, do you know what David Ogie does? David Ogie hops in his car and drives from Fayetteville, Arkansas to Abilene, Texas to watch a football game. Why? Because he thinks he knows that he's an ACU Wildcat. So when David Ogie, he's going to have a great year this year. Hopefully he's going to go to the NFL. And when he goes to the NFL, when he's done, where do you think his home's going to be? Because of what we cultivated with him here. So, yes, David Ogie is not going to go from ACU straight to the NFL, but David Oki's home is ACU. Jack Gibbons' home is ACU. Danielle Manning told me the same thing when he left ACU and went to the Chicago Bears. He was supposed to go to the University of Nebraska, right? He was supposed to do all these things. He says, ACU, I always tell people, ACU is my home. So that's the philosophy, right? That's like what we can provide. It's we can provide holistic home for these guys where, you know, it's more than football. So I think that's the type of stuff we should focus on rather than, you know, necessarily, oh, this guy left. Well, how are they leaving? Are they leaving better than when they got here? And do they feel like the people of ACU and Abilene care about them even though they're going somewhere else? And when they go to the NFL, when they, you know, 10 years down the line, who are they going to call? It's going to be us.
2026 ACU baseball season tickets are on sale now at tickets.acusports.com. Join the Wildcats for another exciting year at the freshly renovated Bullock Brothers Ballpark at Crutcher Scott Field, featuring shaded seating with new chairback seats and premium options just feet from the action. Go to tickets.acusports.com to view baseball season ticket options and available seating today.
There's losing, and then there's being the loser. Game time comes with enough pressure. Way too often, people are betting on sports, losing, and taking it out on the athletes. Only a loser would harass college athletes after losing a bet. But it happens almost every day. Root for your team. Get crazy when the buzzer sounds. But don't harass anyone because you lost a bet. It's time we draw the line and put an end to the abuse. Brought to you by the NCAA.
You mentioned something about while the student athletes are here, pouring into them from a spiritual standpoint, and that many of them have limited background in any sort of church or faith. it is probably not the number one reason they came to ACU. Sure. They come here to play their sport.
Yep.
But then we have this opportunity while they're here. Can you think of an example of somebody who didn't come to ACU because of the spiritual part, the Christian in the name, but then left here changed for the better?
I mean, we could do an episode on that. And I'm serious. I could do an episode on that. I could go down the list of guys that I know that, I mean, they know for a fact, they would tell you for a fact, ACU has changed their life. And they still are working, you know, on the spiritual part and growing closer to God, but they would not have been exposed to what they've been exposed to if they weren't here. I think that this is why I'm so passionate about it, is that I've seen it firsthand. I've had guys come to me and say, this is a real conversation. Man, I always thought, like, to be a Christian meant that you had to, like, for lack of a better term, like, be a nerd. And he was like, I finally see that, like, I don't have to be, like, I could be me and I could still, like follow God. Like, I don't have to be, like, what I thought I had to be a Christian. I could be me and follow God and actually, like, worship him. And it's like, that to me is just as important as us winning a championship, because that's a 50-year implication, right? And I feel like the reason I love athletics so much is because this is the gateway to ministry. It's like, like you said, these guys aren't coming here because of Praise Day Chapel, right? They're not coming here, you know, because their parents weren't here or their grandparents weren't. Yeah. They're coming here to play football. They're coming here to play basketball, right? They're coming here to play soccer. But we have this amazing tool because sport is a universal language. We all speak sports. So I can speak their language. We can speak their language without having to relate to so many other things that we can't relate with. And I just think it's so beautiful that they come here and then we get to set the environment for what they're exposed to. And if we do that right, it's a 50-year implication for who they become, the families that they're a part of or they lead, their kids, you know, their investment back into the university, their investment back into their church community. Like, it is ministry. That's what it is. It's nothing less than that. It's ministry. Bringing people in that are not exposed to the gospel, not exposed to Christ in an intimate way, and showing them, hey, you can have this too. This is actually for you too. I know you didn't grow up in church or weren't exposed to it before, but, like, we're here to tell you and to show you that, like, this is for you. Like, and you can join in the same way, like, we're bringing you in onto the team. Like, we're also inviting you to be on this team. And I just think it's just the most beautiful thing when we do it right and we're intentional about it. And so, yes, there are countless of athletes that have come in and have had that experience, but there's also countless of them that I don't think we've done a good job in cultivating that. That's part of it, of the experience here. And I think we're not in the position to save anyone, right? We're not in the position to force change on anyone, but I think we have a responsibility to set the environment.
Well, a great example of that is from the volleyball team this past fall, of Hannah Gonzalez baptizing Rachel Koss in Jacob's Dream. And Rachel saying, you know, that she wouldn't have been exposed to
100%
the gospel if she hadn't gone to AC, probably. Yeah. If Hannah Gonzalez hadn't been on the team with her.
And her teammates, yeah. I think Itty would have said the same thing when he got baptized last year. You can go down the list, man. It's a beautiful thing when those two things merge together.
Let's talk about being in charge of revenue generation, right?
Charge is a scary word.
Well, all right. Learning about revenue generation, right? Like, a lot of learning for you over the past
like that better.
2 years. How do you try to not overtax the folks that have their names on buildings around campus and keep asking them over and over again, right? Because it's like those are the big ones, yeah. But you can't make them tired of giving to ACU. Yeah.
I think there's two things. I think it's we're blessed because we have a lot of generous people that's what they are. They're generous. They're really not giving because they're getting. They're giving because that's their philosophy. You know, they've bought into the ideology that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So they do it. But from a business standpoint, I've had some interactions where people have said in different ways that, oh, well, we have, you know, so-and-so person to give, you know, so we should be fine. Or if we wanted to, we could just ask so-and-so person. And I guess this is a time to say that is not efficient from a business standpoint. We need everyone. We need everyone. We really do. And I think staying afloat is different than advancing, right? Like, I'm not saying we are, but we don't want to be a department that is just keeping our head above water, right? And I'm not saying we are. But what I know we do want to be is a department that is pushing forward and setting the pace for others to follow, for, you know, other schools and institutions to be like, man, ACU is really pushing the envelope. Like, you know, they have people behind them. And quantity of people behind us is always going to be preferred because it's not just about money. And that's what people also... I hope they hear me say, like, it's not just about giving to a certain level so you don't give because, oh, well, I can't give this much money, so I'm not going to give. No, we need whatever you're willing to support us with. But not only that, your time and your presence is equally important to me, right, to us, because you might not be able to give, you know, a dollar amount that you might, you know, want to, but if you are bringing five people with you every time you come to a game or every time we have an event, well, what you guys can support us with as a group of five would be equal to what you might have wanted to do by yourself, right? And then you're also creating buy-in. You're creating participation. I was just reading something the other day about Indiana. Mark Cuban, you know, billionaire.
Yeah,
Indiana alum, he just made a significant gift to their football program. He tweeted out like, hey, does anyone know how to figure out what the prices are going to be for the game? Because I have some Indiana fans asking, you know, price points. And somebody tweeted like, Mark, like, why are you worried about ticket prices? Like, didn't you just like give the football team? And he was like, well, I'm thinking about our fan base. I'm thinking about the collective group. He's like, they have one of the biggest, largest alumni populations, living alumni populations in the country.
I've heard that.
And he's like, and Mark is saying, I just gave a significant gift, but if we all can give something, that outdoes my gift, bar none. And that's the mindset that I hope that we can get to at ACU. It's like, we actually want everyone's hands in is always going to be more than a few big hands in. And so I hope that we can get to that point.
Yeah. Don't just wait for somebody else to do it, right?
For sure.
This college athletics world is always changing. How difficult has that been for you? Because you're doing things with the Wildcat Annual Fund that haven't been done here before. There is no blueprint from other schools even that you can say that, you know, you can, like you said, everybody's doing it differently. What's that challenge been like of so much change?
I think it's easy when you're young because then you can just say you didn't know. you can blame it on Paul or somebody, right? No, I think it's fun, actually. The changes are fun because it forces you to adapt and be agile. And so I think when you know your subject matter, you know your people, you can change and adapt as you need to. But it's fun because, like you said, it's never really been done before. So it's like, okay, like, what does this look like at ACU? And that's what we always ask. We always ask that question. Like, we see what it looks like. We see what other people are doing. The question is, what does that look like at ACU, right? Because we're different. So we see what NIL looks like, okay? We see what Portal looks like. We see what, you know, RepShare, what does that look like at ACU? And I think it's a fun question to ask because then, you know, you get to pull up your sleeves and kind of figure it out. And it's a challenge, but it's fun.
Is there anything I didn't get to that you wanted to share about Wildcat Annual Fund? Or
we're going to roll out a campaign here in the next month that is going to be centered around reoccurring giving. And so it kind of goes in line with what I was saying about all hands in.
Yeah.
We're trying to take the approach of, okay, you might not be able to give a $10 million gift. Awesome. But if we can get 1,000 people to say, you know what, I can give $25 a month. I can give $20 a month. Multiply that, do that math, because yeah. I can't in my head. Multiply that, do that math, and tell me the number. And that is just a revenue stream that we would be able to use across the entire department for everything that we just talked about that we want to do. Again, it also creates that participation of, you know, you're invested. Like, now come to the games. Now when we have events in Dallas or we have events in Abilene, like, show up. Let these athletes know that they have a community behind them. And it's not just dollars being thrown at them. It's people. It's their families, you know. And vice versa. We want the athletes to know that there's people supporting them and they should show up for them too, you know.
Is it fair to say you've revived the Football Letterman Association or just tried to breathe a new life into it?
Yeah, I'm always weary of giving myself too much credit.
No, but like that is a significant part of your work here.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talked about bringing classes back.
Yeah.
And guys that played here 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
I think the success of the last two football seasons has made that job
for
probably
sure.
a lot easier
sure.
to come
yeah.
back and see a game.
For sure.
When you have guys, former athletes and grads that have not stepped foot on campus in, you know, since the transition to D1, since maybe they graduated, what's their reaction to what ACU looks like now?
Dude, this is one of my favorite things to talk about, the Letterman Association. I mean, it is mind-boggling. First of all, it's mind-boggling the trajectory of some of our lettermen. I mean, like, we have, and I'm talking football here. I mean, I could talk basketball too. Baseball, I can go down the list, but we have lettermen that are, I mean, presidents, CEOs, VPs. I mean, you name it. I mean, we have, like, I am baffled by the success of some of our former players at ACU. I'm talking all sports. I'm talking all sports. I could probably go down the list of every sport and tell you an alumni from that sport that's like, you'd be like, they're the what? Like, yeah. Which gives me hope because I'm like, man, if we do a good job with the kids we have here, then in 20 years, the director of the NYCANA Fund or the director of the Letterman Association is going to be like, man, we have alumni doing this, this, and this. And it should be like that. I think it's beautiful because you get to see people look like you can literally see 20 years of history in their eyes when they come back on campus. And for them, it's like you can tell that they feel like their investment was worth it. Like, they feel a part of it. Like, man, like, when they come back to that stadium, some of those guys from the 2010 team, one of them actually told me, he said, I literally haven't been here since I played my last football game. And they're looking around at the stadium. They're looking around at the atmosphere, right? They're looking around at the crowd being packed, the tailgate. And they're like, man, like, it was worth it. It was worth it coming to ACU and putting in what I did. And it's like, it's just a beautiful thing, man, to see that. And I feel like the Letterman's Association, especially football, like, I'm not even going to just say football, all of them. I don't think that some of them realize how important it is for the program that they have former players that are engaged. Yes, there's a financial component to that. We would love our former players to give back to their programs. But the presence, invaluable. I mean, you can't sell a program better than when you see the players that went through the program back on campus saying, this program changed my life. This program put me on this trajectory. This program taught me how to be a woman of God, how to be a man of God. This program built these disciplines in me. There is no better recruiting pitch. There's no better, like, storyteller than, like, someone that's gone through it 30 years ago, 50 years ago. I mean, the guys from the 70s, I mean, if you just sit with them, like, they'll tell you about Wally Bullington, and they'll tell you about, you know, Duet Jones, and these guys that, like, and what they went through, and the national championship game, and their quarterback, and the and the Montgomery brothers, like, it's amazing. And sitting there as an athlete, or sitting there as a recruit, you're like, man, like, in 30 years they would be saying that about this team, you know. Danielle Manning came back on campus this year, and he went in the locker room after one of the games, and you know, there were guys that watched him in the NFL growing up, and they're like, I didn't know Danielle Manning, like this is Danielle Manning, like, he's right here. And it's like, that inspires, that gives hope, and that shows that, like, you know, this place can be that for you. You know what I mean? It is invaluable, right, for them to show up. It's invaluable for them to support, because when you give, what you're also saying is, I believe in this program right now, you know, and what it can do. So I want to make sure that it's advancing forward. It's just, it's the most beautiful thing whenever former players come back to support their program. And so I'm hoping that, being truthful, the Letterman Association for football is, you know, it used to be good, and then it dropped off, and there's people changed, and, you know, personnel would leave and different things like that. But I mean, even where it is right now, we've had a lot of engagement in the last 2 years, right? And a lot of that is, you know, been helpful, that our program is doing pretty good. But I'm telling you, there is, like, I mean, we have probably scratched like 15% of that capacity, dude. From a engagement standpoint, from every standpoint, we have probably scratched 15-20% of that. There is so much more untapped. That, man, if we could get to 50% of that being tapped into, I mean, it would be unnoticeable, the difference that they're making in the program. So
I can feel the passion. No, this is good, because you get to, you know, you get to hear those stories all the time, and you're the one interacting on the front lines, and so it's good to hear the impact and what's actually happened at ACU and the legacy.
For sure. It's awesome. That's why I'm here. That's why I stayed. That's why I was blessed to be in this position, is because I wanted to be a part of that.
ACUSports.com/WAF. You can learn a lot more about the Wildcat Annual Fund, and you can start your thought process on putting your hand in, all hands in. Don't wait till April 29th at 11:50 p.m. to give. You can do it now.
Sure.
Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
It.
Appreciate you.
This is great.
Sure.